We now come to our reading, and Bernadette's going to come up and do our reading. It's from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. Thank you, Bernadette.
These are promises from the Lord. Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before me." Thanks for God's word.
Amen.
I'll leave that there.
Thank you. Bless you. Thank you, Bernadette. And today I was going to do Matthew 5, 7 to 9. And then the Lord put certain things on my heart. So we're going to do a deep dive into Matthew 5, 7. This is a real important verse. But I'm going to start off with an apology. You might have seen this. This is a new microphone. It's really small. But when I'm singing, it doesn't switch off. So I just want to say apologies to Hayden, who's been hearing all my singing as we've been worshipping this morning. I hope it's not been too bad. Can I ask you, stick your hands up if you're a disciple of Jesus. Wow, that's amazing. This is for you. This sermon's for you. We're continuing this series called The Blessed Life. This is part 3. And I want to summarize Jesus' Beatitudes. It's about how do we find new life in Christ? And it's about how do we enjoy new life in Christ? Amen. And today in Matthew 5, 7, we've reached a turning point in the Beatitudes. The first 3 to 6, are all about the things that we receive. We receive the kingdom of heaven. We receive the earth. We receive those things that we hunger and thirst for, we will be filled. This is what it says in verses 3 to 6. It's all about the things we receive. And here in verse 7 to 9, it's not about the things we receive, but the things that we are to do as disciples of Jesus. We're to do mercy. We're to be pure in heart. We're to be peacemakers. Amen. And Jesus says that to enter the kingdom of God, you must be born again. To be born again means that the Holy Spirit is implanted in our hearts. God's own nature, power, and life is in us. Isn't that an amazing thought? That's what the Bible tells us. And like a seed that's planted that grows and blossoms, once grace has taken root in our hearts, you will see the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And what is happening inside us starts to show up on the outside. You can see in our behavior what's inside us. So in verse 7, there's a theme about mercy, and it boils down to this. It's about how do we treat people? And how do we respond to brokenness? So let's begin. First, mercy, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful. Not will be. Blessed are the merciful. For they shall receive mercy. Thank you, Lord. And as Bernadette rightly says, this is a promise by Jesus. This is going to happen. But it doesn't mean that we earn mercy by showing mercy. It's not a transaction. No, we don't earn mercy. That would contradict grace. Jesus is saying that the person who has experienced God's mercy will become merciful. So what is mercy? Mercy means more than sympathy. Mercy is from the Hebrew word hesed. It means God's compassionate love in action. That's what Jesus did. It means God's faithful, loyal kindness to all his people. That's what God does. God sees our suffering. He sees our weakness and our sin. And he responds by forgiveness, help, healing, and restoring his people when we turn to him. That's the hope we have. Even when we mess up. Especially when we mess up. And all through scripture, God's character is merciful. He's the merciful God. So when Jesus calls us to be merciful, he's saying, treat other people the way God has treated you. And so mercy received becomes mercy given. But before we can give it, we have to receive it. We have to receive God's mercy. And notice that there is a sequence. Grace always precedes mercy. And there's something here between mercy and grace, and I just want to delve into that. Mercy withholds the judgment that we deserve. Grace gives the blessings that we don't deserve. Grace gives what we don't deserve. Mercy withholds what we do deserve. Grace gives us God's favor. Mercy withholds God's punishment. We don't receive mercy because we deserve it. We receive mercy because we need it. And God knows we need it. And that's why we should be merciful, because we all need mercy. Because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we need to remember that we too live by grace. We show mercy to others because we recognize how much we depend on mercy. Mercy received becomes mercy given. Forgiven people become forgiving people. If you don't know how much you've been forgiven, you won't forgive other people. Forgiven people become forgiving people. People who've received mercy show mercy. And Jesus demonstrates this in his parable about the Pharisee and the tax collector. They're standing together, they're praying in Luke 18. And the Pharisee looks at the sinner and he says, well, I'm glad I'm not like him. And he's praising himself and he's hoping that God will agree with him. And the sinner, the tax collector, can only pray, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus says, he's the one whose prayer got answered. The gospel teaches us that apart from grace, we have no reason to boast. The parable teaches us that humility, repentance, and dependence on God is the posture we need to receive mercy. And our willingness to show mercy reveals that we have understood God's mercy. Luke 18 shows us how we should approach God. Matthew 5:7 shows us what happens to us when we truly encounter him. And twice in the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus quotes the prophet Hosea. And he says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, in Matthew 9 and 12. God values mercy over religion without love. I'm going to say that again. God values mercy over religion without any love. If we truly understand God's heart, mercy will shape how we treat people. Mercy reveals whether we've understood God at all. And there's a test that we can do. If our understanding of God makes us less merciful, less compassionate, and more eager to condemn other people, then we're missing God's heart. We've missed it completely. In Luke 6, Jesus commands us to be merciful as your Father is merciful, your Heavenly Father. So we must align our character with God's character. God wants his people to have a heart that becomes like his heart. And God is transforming us, if we let him, into a people who reflects his heart. And that's what he's put on my heart this week. So I've been praying, Lord, teach me not only to obey your commands, but to understand your heart. Lord, teach us not only to obey your commands, but to understand your heart, in Jesus' name. So let's just take a quick time out. We're going to summarize what I've said so far. We receive God's mercy. We're to understand God's mercy. We're to extend God's mercy, and we're to reflect God's heart. And that's what it means when Jesus commands us to be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. Sometimes mercy looks like a weakness. Mercy is not a weakness, it's a strength. It is strength through love. And mercy doesn't mean that we ignore sin either. It doesn't mean we ignore injustice. Mercy is not about being tolerant or even nice. Mercy tells the truth without hatred. Mercy confronts sin without humiliating the sinner. And sometimes mercy comforts. Sometimes mercy forgives. Sometimes mercy protects. But always mercy refuses revenge. And I've been thinking about this, and I've distilled it to this one thought. Mercy asks, what does love require of me in this situation? Mercy is, what does God require of you in that situation? And our example is Jesus. I look to Jesus. Jesus embodies mercy. In his life and his ministry, he embodied mercy by forgiving sinners, by praying for the sick, by feeding the hungry, by welcoming the outcasts and the strangers, and by giving his life for us. Where do we see mercy? We see mercy at the cross. At the cross, God's mercy is not indifferent to evil. God deals with sin, but he extends mercy to sinners, to us. And Jesus' promise is simple. The merciful will be shown mercy at the judgment. Amen. And if we won't give mercy, our heart hardens. And a hardened heart cannot receive mercy, even when it's offered. That's a scary thought. If you let your heart get hardened, you cannot receive the mercy God wants to give to you. We cannot receive mercy while we are refusing to be merciful. I've got two more examples of mercy from Jesus in the Gospels. First of all, Jesus is teaching in Luke 10. And this is the first example, the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan didn't just feel sorry for the injured man he'd seen. He stopped. He went over to him. He treated his wounds. He carried him to safety. He prayed for his care. And then he went back and ensured he was looked after. That's mercy. And here we see mercy crosses boundaries. Mercy responds to people in need. This week I've been praying Lord, help me to notice someone today who needs mercy and give me the willingness and courage to respond. So I'm going to pray this now for the church. Church, I pray that the Lord will help all of us to notice someone today, this week, who needs mercy and give us the willingness and courage, Lord, to respond. Let us not be like the religious people that walked to the other side of the road, that walked past that man. Let us be like the Good Samaritan, in Jesus' name. Amen. And the second example in Matthew 18 is a warning that Jesus gives in the parable of the unforgiving servant. The unforgiving servant had been forgiven a huge debt by a merciful master. And then he met another servant who owed him a small amount of money. And the unforgiving servant had received mercy, but then he refuses to give mercy to the man that owed him a small amount of money. And when the king finds out, he binds the unforgiven servant and he takes him away to that place where there'd be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is a tragedy. This is a tragedy not because he behaved badly. This is a tragedy because he received mercy, but his heart was never transformed. And my prayer is that none of us will ever be like the unforgiven servant. My prayer is that God's mercy will transform our hearts. But the truth is that we can talk about grace without becoming gracious. We can preach about forgiveness without forgiving our brothers and sisters in Christ. The mercy that God gives to us must shape how we treat other people, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. And mercy becomes meaningful when it moves from what we believe to what we do. That's when it becomes meaningful. And mercy often begins with noticing something. It involves compassion. Mercy often looks very ordinary. It could be a listening ear. It could be a forgiving response. It could be giving somebody a lift somewhere. It could be visiting them. It could be a kind word. And even these small acts of mercy show God's love in a powerful way. So how are we going to apply Matthew 5:7? How are we going to apply that as a church? And I think there's a heart check we can do. We can check our own hearts. We can ask ourselves, am I merciful? Do I lack compassion? Am I unwilling to forgive somebody in this church? Are you merciful? Do you lack compassion? Are you unwilling to forgive someone in this church? And then I thought about it and God gave me this. The real question is, who am I becoming? So my question to you is, who are you becoming? Are you becoming more like Jesus? So I've been on my knees and I've been repenting this week for all the times when I've not been like Jesus. Take some time to think about that. Who am I becoming? Am I merciful? Do I lack compassion? Is there somebody in this church I'm unwilling to forgive? That's the application for this verse, for this church. So in conclusion, today we've looked at Matthew 5:7. We've done a deep dive. We're going to look at the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, which is Jesus' first sermon for his disciples. We need to be applying this to our lives. What have we learned? We've learned that grace received becomes mercy experienced and then mercy demonstrated. Grace received is mercy experienced and mercy demonstrated. The two things go together. We experience God's mercy when we trust in Christ, when we turn to him. And having received God's mercy, we can share his mercy with others. And this is what Jesus calls the blessed life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy for us. We thank you that you show us mercy through Jesus Christ. Help us to remember how much we are forgiven. Help us to remember how large your mercy is for us. And therefore, help us to be quick to forgive. And when we're hurt or wronged, help us not to respond with bitterness or resentment, but to be slow to judge and quick to love. Father, we thank you for your mercy, which is greater than our mistakes. Make us a people who reflect your grace in all that we say and do. And may our hearts be more like you, Lord Jesus. May we live in your mercy and share it generously. And when people look at us, may they see the family resemblance to you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.